I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege today, something I've never done in a sermon before. I'm naming today Betty Carr Day, right here from the pulpit, and in a minute I'll tell you why. She was here at 8, so she already knows about this. I said I've never done this before, and I wouldn't do it now, but I think at 92 years old, you deserve some perks. We are now in our third month of our ninth year of shared ministry together here at Grace, at least for those of you who have endured the last 9 years or more. Time sure flies. Over the years, from time to time, I've polled members of the congregation to determine what it is you'd like to learn or study or hear more about. And every single time, Betty Carr responds, the Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus. And so today is Betty's day. Today we have in our gospel reading a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, referred to as the Beatitudes. We specifically have Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, in which Jesus shares with the crowd a litany of those who are blessed. The list is counter to intuition in many ways, specifically in worldly ways, and may seem especially problematic at the present time. Luke's telling of the Beatitudes includes a list of people who should expect woes or times of trouble. We should consider ourselves blessed that we do not have to come face to face today with Luke's litany of woes. They add to the already heavy burden of those who are comfortable or feeling smugly secure. For those of us who at this moment in time are fairly comfortable with our place in the world, the Beatitudes offer little in the way of comfort. For some of us, the Beatitudes may make us downright nervous. But for some others of us, the Beatitudes are among the most comforting words in all of Scripture. So who is it that Jesus names as blessed? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who are reviled and slandered on account of Jesus. Do any of us fit into any of these categories? I'm sure some do. I hope many do. And I pray that each of us finds ourselves in one of these categories of blessedness: pure in heart, peacemakers, willing to be reviled and slandered as representatives of Jesus, maybe meek, or hungering and thirsting for righteousness' sake. I'm sure some of us are poor in spirit or mourning. It's hard to rejoice in your blessedness when you're poor in spirit or mourning, but perhaps that is what Jesus reveals for us in these difficult passages from his best-known sermon. Earlier this week, I was with my dad in Birmingham as he went through surgery to remove a cancerous kidney. Many of you know him. He's a priest who stepped in to help out here on several occasions. Everything out of my father's mouth becomes a sermon. And so at one point, when there was a particular lull and I was clambering, preaching on the Beatitudes this week, I asked him, "What are your thoughts about the Beatitudes right now?" He was unusually quiet. Maybe that was because of his current situation, or maybe he just didn't feel like talking right then, or maybe he's living into the experience of the Beatitudes in a way that he never expected. I was hoping for some sermon help, but decided not to press the point right then. My stepbrother, who's a member of the Church of the Highlands, started sharing his thoughts. And what he said was this, and I'm paraphrasing because I do not remember his exact words, but what he said basically was, the people that are listed as blessed are those who realize their dependence on God. They realize that they have not gotten where they are or done what they have done on their own. When you are poor in spirit or meek or searching, you know that you have to rely on something other than yourself. And I think he had a point. Something worth thinking about. But before he opened his mouth, I wanted to discredit whatever it was he had yet to say. I wanted to discredit anything coming from what I deemed the all-for-show megachurch. But then I began wondering why that was. Where did my anxiety and judgmentalism fit in with the list of those who are blessed that Jesus names in the very Beatitudes that we were then discussing? In that moment, I experienced both the blessedness of broadening my horizons and the woe of realizing my error. And that is okay. It's in those eye-opening, mind-opening, heart-opening realization that we're given the opportunity to move into a place of recognizing our blessedness and our dependence on the one from whom all blessings flow, and stepping away from the woe of self. And what are we to do with this list of blesseds? Are we to find ourselves guilty and unworthy of Jesus' blessing? Maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think that Jesus set out to condemn with this Sermon on the Mount, but to get our attention, to perhaps call people back to themselves, back to the people of God that he created us to be, those who mourn because of injustice, are poor in spirit when others are oppressed and cast out, those who are meek when tempted by arrogance and self-striving, but hunger and thirst for what is right. Jesus reminds us that we are to be merciful and peacemakers, and that if we are persecuted and hated and slandered because we stand up with Jesus in caring for others, then we are in God's company and have experienced a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. The prophet Micah encourages us in this path of blessedness. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God? Look around. Look inside. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Be blessed, not by your success. Success in the world is not success in the eyes of Jesus. Success in the eyes of Jesus looks like total dependence on God, which calls us out of ourselves and into care for our neighbors, especially those who have none to care for them. Blessed are those. Amen.